Good morning, everyone. I hope you all had a wonderful night last night. Lots of rest, and you're ready for another day when we can be together. The topic that we're going to be exploring today, it really comes around to salvation. And I'm going to be talking about why we need salvation today. Just before I start, I want to see a show of hands. Who has heard the story of Adam and Eve? Or let me clarify, who has not heard the story of Adam and Eve? Is there anyone here who has not heard the story? That's awesome. So we're all on one page. We know that we all descended from Adam and Eve, and we inherited the characteristics, the physical characteristics of these two people who God designed and also created. And these two people lived in the Garden of Eden. God placed them there to take care of the garden. And we all know that the snake also happened to be in the garden, and he started talking to Eve. He said, "Well, why don't you try the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil?" And she, of course, she explains that, you know, we're not allowed to do that. God told us not to do that. And the snake says, "Well, just do it. You don't know, you know, try it." And she says, "Okay." So she tries it. And of course, we know the patterns of the story. And as it goes along, God takes Adam and Eve and places them out of the Garden of Eden. He places them on this land. And out of this story, we know that two things happen. First of all, two people sin. And as a result of this sin, death comes into this world. We, as a result of this sin, are all destined to die. We read out of Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." This passage very clearly states that as a consequence of sin, we are all destined to die. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, Adam and Eve, when they lived in the Garden of Eden, one of the things that they really got to experience that we do not here on this land is the closeness that they were to God. It says when both of them had eaten of the fruit, God came out, you know, when it was hot, and he started calling Adam, Adam. He wanted to be close with Adam. And Adam, of course, had sinned, and he was very afraid, and he felt ashamed, so he started to hide from God. But God, ultimately, he was seeking a relationship, and he wanted that relationship with both Adam and Eve. And that relationship and that want for a relationship not only passes on to us, but God also seeks that relationship. But we have sinned, and we have come short of the glory of God. It is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." As a consequence, again, death enters into the world, as it says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And we have this huge problem that we all of a sudden have out of this small sin, and that is, of course, sin and also death. But first of all, let us answer the question, what is sin? I define it for myself as an action, a thought, a word. Even the mere existence of me is a sin, because we have read, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." The sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden separated them from God as a result of the sin. And we are also separated from God. No good deeds that you or I can do could bring us back to that glory that God originally planned for us, because we have sinned. And the only way that God could reconcile us with himself is through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. We all know the world-famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, for whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. David the psalmist realizes our situation, our sinful situation, and he writes, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." He realizes that we all are sinners, and the only way we could have any kind of hope for the future, even after we die, for eternal life, is if our sins and our iniquities would be forgiven. In the Old Testament, people gave, we read that they would come out to the capital, Jerusalem, and they would sacrifice animals, doves, pigeons, there were sheep, cows, and everything. And they would come and they would sacrifice them for their iniquities to be forgiven. And then God, in the New Testament, he brings his Son because it says that he so loved the world. He brings his only Son as a sacrifice into the world that we should be forgiven. I think that is a beautiful thing because every day I wake up and I realize that I am a sinner and I repent every single day because I see myself, I see my actions that they're against God many, many times. And I ask God for forgiveness every single day. And the really cool thing is that God, he loves us so much. His mercies, they renew each day. The fact that we are here today is his mercy. The fact that we could drive and none of us got into an accident on the freeway or on the road is God's mercy. The fact that you guys can see me right now, that you can hear me, that is God's mercy. If not for his mercy, we would all die right now. And without his mercy, we are damned to eternal death. Do you know what the real meaning of hell is? It's not the fact that people are going to be burning in hell. No, it's the fact that we are going to be separated from God eternally. One of the worst things for myself is when I realize that I've done something, especially when I was a small child, I would realize that I did something against my parents. I made them grieve. I made them unhappy. And all I wanted was that relationship back. I would do anything almost to have them forgive me. It's the same thing when we sin against God. He wants us to be his children, but we sin against him. And blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. If we read before Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, we continue. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. As we see in the story of humanity, we see that we are all sinners, but we are all beloved by God. It doesn't mean that he loves our sin. No, he wants us to repent, but he loves us enough to send his only begotten Son that he would die for us so we could have forgiveness of our sins. The relationship which was broken by Adam and Eve is once again renewed through the coming of a second Adam, Jesus. He restores that relationship with God. And here is God's promise. We can read in Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. This is God's solution to death and sin, and it's beautiful. The importance of this sin is highlighted in the very beginning of the New Testament. We read when John the Baptist comes out to preach, one of the first things he says, and of all things to say, he doesn't say, hi, everyone. He doesn't say anything. He just says, repent. He realized it's a very, very important thing that we repent and we turn away from our sins. We need to be saved. And Jesus offers peace for those who repent. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says that in Matthew. And, you know, I work with kids and teens a lot. And especially in camps, we come out and we go for like a 5-night, 6-night camp. We're all there having a great time. But the really cool thing is that at the end of the camp, we have this night where we make a huge bonfire. And everyone gathers around and we tell them that, you know, you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sins. And we offer them the chance to come out and they pray. And the really, really cool, interesting part about it is that the next morning when we wake up, we talk to them like, well, how was your night? oh, it was my best night ever. Like, I've never slept so good. It's a simple example, but Jesus offers peace. He offers peace for little children. He offers peace for adults. And I find that fascinating. People seek peace. People are lonely in this world. I talk to a lot of people, but I work with this one man, and I met him at a gas station recently, like maybe a month ago. And we started talking. It was a Friday night, and I started talking to him. And I'm, you know, what are your plans for the weekend? Because I was heading somewhere, and I asked him, and he says, I'm probably going to go home and get drunk. He's holding two cases of beer because my wife isn't going to let me fish. And I found that so crazy. I found that so, I don't know. It's, people feel very lonely. They feel so alone in this world because they have friends, they have jobs, they have family, they have everything. But somehow they have to turn to the substances to cure their depression, to cure their feeling of being alone. And Jesus offers peace. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We wrap up our needs into wants. Every single one of us will die. Nothing that we have outside, at home, here with us, nothing is of value except for our own soul. And if that is not saved, what is the point of this life? If we do not repent, there is no purpose to our life. Without God, we are damned. And that is simple truth. I would like to now end my little sermon. And I would just like to point out one thing. Recently, this past month, we've been experiencing, some people have been experiencing many losses of their family and friends. And, you know, some people can turn and say, man, God is so unrighteous. Why are these people dying? But at the same time, we have to turn and look at our own life. You know, we're going to be in the same situation. We're going to all die at one point. And we have to be ready for God to come, or we have to be ready to die. And it's just a simple truth. Look at it however you want, but that is what's going to happen. And I find it fascinating that God, he gives us peace through Jesus Christ, through the fact that we can turn away from our sins and have a life, an eternal life with God. Let us now pray. Amen.